Well, I was able to interview Randall Carlson, and we were able to speak a little bit about the 3i Atlas space rock that's hurtling through our solar system. With Randall Carlson, he and I are both driven by so much curiosity in so many different areas of interest that we barely scratched the surface in about a one-hour interview. We want to go a lot deeper. We weren't able to do that today. But I'll bring you the Randall Carlson interview, and I think you'll find it really intriguing. The one thing I want to add, I did misspeak about something about the reverse Oberth effect, which is using planetary motion for braking effects or like an anti-slingshot effect. I think I had inadvertently said that you could use the movement around the sun to achieve a reverse Oberth effect. And actually, it's a maneuver that requires you to slingshot around a planet that's orbiting the sun. Then either depending on your approach vector to the planet, it can either accelerate your relative velocity or it can decrease your relative velocity. So you can use planets in a braking maneuver as well. But that's not around the sun. That's around a planet that's orbiting the sun, because we're talking about the relative velocity of the orbital body compared to the sun itself. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. Now, what do I think the 3i Atlas object is? Well, at the moment, none of us are sure. It's got some interesting characteristics. It appears to have been put on a very interesting trajectory. The origins of that trajectory could have been thousands of years ago, almost certainly were. So that's long before modern human civilization came into existence. It's long before we began testing nuclear weapons. It's long before we even had radio, or long before we began broadcasting, electromagnetic signals into space. And understand that in the last roughly 100 years, Earth has been broadcasting something, radio and then TV and other signals. And so every planet within 100 light years of Earth has the ability to receive those signals if they have a radio telescope pointed in the direction of Earth. So Earth has been sending out, beacons screaming, we're here, which may not be a very wise thing to do. It's hard to say. It depends on who's out there and what their intents are, their motivations. But it seems to me that this space rock that's visiting us now, the one called 3i Atlas, seems to me that this was initiated long before 100 years ago, almost certainly. So I don't think that this rock is here because of recent technological achievements on Earth. It seems that if it is of extraterrestrial origin, then it's actually, it's just here on a general survey type of mission to survey especially the inner planets, but just to take a look, just like a flyby through the solar system to get a grip on what we have here. And that could have been initiated long before even, let's say, the year zero, long before the birth or the death of Christ. So, what does that mean? Well, they're not here because of something we broadcast on TV. That is, if it's extraterrestrial at all, which we don't even know. We will know for certain if certain things happen. In other words, if there's a braking maneuver, or if there's an acceleration maneuver, if it starts maneuvering, in other words, through the solar system, then you're like, oh yeah, okay, so that's not natural. That's not just a giant space rock. But it is unlikely that this rock is intended to collide with Earth. And I want to be clear about that, because a lot of people talking about this online, they seem to imply, oh, it's going to visit us and the aliens are coming, or a giant rock is going to slam into Earth, or it's a mothership that's on an intersection course with Earth. And it's not. It's not. It's not on an intersection course with any planet. It's on a flyby course that just brings it, yeah, relatively closer to three planets, but Earth is not one of them. So this isn't an Earth invasion, at least, again, unless it engages in some innovative maneuvers. It's not an Earth collision. At most, it's an Earth observation, or really a solar system observation event. Now, this object did come from outside our solar system. That's very clear. And it's estimated to be 20 kilometers in diameter and moving at something like, I think Randall said it was like 60 kilometers a second or something like that. That's fast. I mean, that's moving right along. And that relative velocity to Earth would mean that if it did collide with Earth, as Randall said in the interview, that would be an extinction level event, you know, ELE. Fortunately, it's not on a collision course with Earth. And on its current trajectory, it doesn't even come closer to the Earth than the Sun itself, by the way. So anybody out there reporting, like, it's going to get close to Earth, no closer than the Sun, it turns out. In fact, it's like 1.5 AUs. So it's not on a course with Earth. It doesn't mean that there aren't aliens piloting the thing. That's a possibility, although we don't have any direct evidence of that at the moment, but that certainly is a possibility. But I am doubtful that there are any biologics riding on this asteroid. Why? Because, well, the travel time is so long. It could be thousands of years to get here, and if you're a biological creature, I don't think you're going to live thousands of years, and that would also be boring. Like, oh, another day on the space rock. Man, every day. Talk about Groundhog Day. How about Space Rock Day? Yeah, you know, wake up. What are we going to do today? Nothing. We're just going to fly through space at 60 kilometers a second for like 50,000 more days. Oh, great. The most likely ETs would be AI ETs. Which it seems hard to pronounce. And AI ETs are, I mean, if you think about it, machines are ideally suited for travel in space because you could just put them into shutdown mode or whatever, sleep mode, and they're not even aware of the passage of time. You just kind of boot them up when they get to the destination. Let's say, I mean, using our understanding of machines, but you turn them back on when you get close to your destination, and then the machines can do their work. So if there are, quote, ETs on this rock, they're probably artificial intelligence ETs or machines built by the ETs. And the point of the machines is to run recon missions all over the cosmos and find out what's out there, which is exactly what we would do. In a sense, that's the whole show called Star Trek, you know, what, to explore new worlds. To go where no man has gone before. Our mission, I forgot the whole thing, but some of you Trekkies can tell me the exact words of the intro, but part of that is to explore new worlds. So they sent humans on the warp drive NCC-1701 starship to run around and check out all the planets and find, like, hot female aliens wearing miniskirts or whatever they found on Star Trek. And I think that's... they did find a planet like that. But that's science fiction. In reality, you're likely to find a planet of slug-like creatures with faces of Hillary Clinton. That's the far more likely thing you're going to find. And in order to send out recon probes, you would send out machines. And it would be a long project, unless you had faster-than-light travel, which I do think is common, by the way. But just to send out spaceships to bounce around the universe at something slower than the speed of light, man, you got to have a lot of patience, like millions of years, because just traversing the Milky Way galaxy could take you a few hundred thousand years, you know, from one end of a spiral arm to the opposite side. I think that's a few hundred thousand light years across. So if you're traveling at, I don't know, like a quarter of the speed of light, which is, that's something, it'd take you a million years. So, you know, again, these are rough numbers, but you would have to have a tremendous amount of patience, and a lot can happen in a million years. You know, Earth will probably, or Earth human civilization will probably blow itself up long before any of that happens. So, you know, even if the probe does a flyby right now and they're gathering data like, oh, there's a civilization of, you know, bipedal morons who are eating junk food at Cracker Barrel and they're killing children and polluting the ocean with plastics. Then a million years later, when they get back to report that to the home base, is like, oh, well, should we go check out that planet? Nah, they're probably gone by now. They probably killed themselves off. But there's probably technology which is faster than light information. Let's say entanglement theory, you know, quantum, I don't know what you want to call it, like quantum bandwidth or something, where you can instantaneously transmit information from one place to another. That probably exists. I think, in fact, on Earth, we've shown that that also exists. So they probably don't have to wait a million years to get the info, to get the emails. They're probably getting the emails like, ah, Earth is all jacked up. But it would take hundreds of thousands of years to send a ship to do anything about it, even if they wanted to. So even if this giant space rock is right now going to do a flyby and is going to report back to, you know, the home alien planet of, hey, Earth is a water planet, and look, the humans are destroying themselves. Let's take it. It's got seawater, and it's got neodymium. It's got rare earth minerals, which on other planets other than Earth are not called rare earths, it turns out. Rare Mars minerals on Mars. But even if that message were to get out, the aliens, if they were to say, okay, let's initiate a ship, let's go take Earth, you know, that could be like a 20,000 year mission or something. So I don't think we're in any kind of a urgent critical situation based on the space rock, is my point. But maybe there's a previous space rock that already did the recon and already found out and concluded, oh, we got to take over Earth. And then what would they do? They would send machines that would probably transmit information to help us kill ourselves, such as mRNA, vaccine jabs, and then they would control the media and try to convince everybody to be afraid of non-existent infectious viruses, and they would convince the human population to inject themselves with deadly depopulation and infertility jabs, and then the humans would die off in advance of the landing by the aliens. That's what they would do. And possibly that's what's happening. Like, we've been sent instructions for self-extermination, and like Bill Gates got the alien emails like, yeah, I'll do it. Mosquitoes, you know, whatever. You know, let's destroy the food crops. Let's roll out GMOs and glyphosate and pesticides and heavy metals and chemtrails and infertility jabs and depopulation bioweapons, and let's have wars and blah, blah, blah. And the aliens are like, yeah, that's exactly our request. Please go ahead and proceed. And then when you kill yourselves off, we'll come to the planet and we'll take it. Or, you know, we'll colonize it. And then the aliens can have, you know, like Mexico. And instead of all the illegals being in the United States, the actual illegal aliens would be in Mexico. Imagine that. And then Mexico would try to figure out how to deport aliens. Literally. So that's some of the fun that we get to deal with. Anyway, I think you'll enjoy my Randall Carlson interview because we have a great conversation. He's a super sharp guy. In fact, I really want to listen to more of his material. He's got a podcast on YouTube. We talk about that. So check out the interview coming up. I'm Mike Adams, and if you want to hear more of my podcasts and interviews, you can find me, of course, at Brighteon.com. And our AI engine is trained on all kinds of UFO knowledge, it turns out. that was donated by the Arlington Institute. The late John Peterson, who just passed away a week ago, he donated all this information to our project, and we are very thankful to John for that. And you can do UFO research on Enoch. So give it a whirl. That's at brighteon.ai, and it's free. Brighteon.ai. And thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Take care, everybody. God bless Earth. How about that? Yep.
Magnesium glycinate capsules. Highly bioavailable, non-GMO, lab verified, and encourages mental calm and physical wellness. Grab yours now at healthrangerstore.com.